If you could open your Bibles to Psalm 12. You know, usually I pick a verse or a subject and I go all over the Bible. I thought I'd try to, to pick a passage. I picked Psalm 12. It's the first time I've tried to just go through a whole passage. When I looked at it this afternoon, it feels really disjointed. So anyways, help Lord, that's the first two words. This psalm reminded me of the importance of short, constant communication with God. So, I mean, verse 1 starts out, help Lord. And that's actually a good prayer, right? If your heart is honestly seeking help from our Lord God, you will never go wrong. Let's read the first two verses. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. These first two verses are a prayer, but really help, Lord, is the prayer. The rest is the reason for the prayer. Verse 1, help, Lord. It's a very short prayer. David could have shortened it to just help. If you're not praying to the Lord, you're speaking to yourself. If you're not praying to the God of this Bible, you're just speaking to yourself. This is Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah, I am that I am, the self-existent, eternal, immortal, only wise God, the invisible, only wise God, the almighty God. If you're not praying to him, you're talking to yourself. I don't know, quite understand. You know, God may have compassion on the unsaved. He may hear their cries of desperation and help somewhat. I know that he definitely hears the unsaved when they cry help for salvation. But the only ones who have a right to cry for help, the only ones who have a right to come boldly before the throne of grace are the children of God. The only ones who have a guarantee that God will hear their prayer are his children. So our first reason to pray is if you don't know God, pray for yourself. Now, I look around and everybody looks saved to me, but I don't think I've ever spoke from a pulpit without giving a small gospel message. So our first reason to pray is if you don't know Christ is to pray for yourself. Help, Lord. You know, if you're not a child of God, if he's not your Lord, you need to make him your Lord. Like that desperate father in, I think it's Mark 9. Help, Lord, right? He believed, but he asked, help my unbelief. He is Lord, creator of heaven and earth. So you need to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Fanny Crosby wrote in one of our hymns, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. That moment. Receive Christ, receive pardon, complete forgiveness. The moment you receive him. 1 John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the authority to become a child of God, even to them that believe on his name. I looked up that word receive, right? It means to take into one's possession, to accept something offered as a gift. God loves you. Christ died for you. Almighty God is offering to adopt you, to make you his child. And if children, Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All you need to do is believe and receive. And I don't think it's possible to receive salvation without a prayer. So ask. That's all you have to do is ask. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And it cannot be said any simpler than come unto me. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Help, Lord. That's a very short prayer, but it's a very good place to start. If your heart honestly cries, help, Lord, God will help. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, repent. That means turn around. Turn. You're facing the world, turn around and walk towards Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think it's the shortest prayers that gets God's attention the fastest. They're from the heart, right? There's no pretense, no hypocrisy in the shortest prayers. Help, Lord. There's no real thought. It's just desperation. So I looked up a couple of short prayers in the Bible. I think the best example, the shortest, is Nehemiah. You don't need to go there. Nehemiah chapter 2. It's the shortest prayer in the Bible. It's mentioned, but it's not even recorded. The king asks Nehemiah, what is your request? Nehemiah writes, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And without a second going by, he tells the king his request. He prayed, but he had no time for prayer. No time to think, right? Maybe it's not even words. Maybe it's just his heart. Help, Lord. And the Lord answered him. You know, I think we need to remember to pray like this when we have a chance to witness. Sometimes those moments come without warning. First, pray for God to draw them, right? Because no man can come unto me, Christ said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. So pray for God to draw them and pray for yourself. You don't need a lot of words. Let your heart look up and pray, help, Lord. They need help, and you need help in order to help. Short prayers. Peter asked Christ if he could leave the boat and walk on the water to Jesus. When he saw the strong wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And he did. If you're unsaved, pray, Lord, save me. And he will. If you're his and you need help, pray, help, Lord, and he will. Look at the short prayers in verse 5 of our text. Right? The King James, which I have, is a little harder to understand, so I'm going to quote the NASB. It says, because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he longs. Those groanings and the longings of the afflicted are just short, silent prayers. Help, Lord. God hears those short, silent prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. God wants us to be in constant contact with him. When you're with a crowd of people, when you're driving, I mean, maybe you're at work. The only way to be in constant communication with our Lord is to pray without ceasing is through short prayers. Sometimes it's without words. Let your hearts pray always. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for long prayers in Matthew 23. He said, for a pretense, they make long prayer. But I cannot recall God ever scolding anyone for a short prayer. And I don't mean to diss long prayers, right? Fervent, effectual, long prayers are more than commendable. James says they avail, they accomplish much. But I don't think we have to make all our prayers long prayers. Let's read the first two verses again. Right? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. double heart. That's pretending to care, but you don't. Okay? David is pleading to God for help, for protection, because of a lying, deceitful, dishonest world. Because people use manipulation, flattering lips, and a double heart to deceive and deceive to get what they want. And we are all part of that same world. People lie. Why? Because lies work. There is much profit in lying. Twisting the truth works. Lying is wrong, but it works. This world tells lies. You hear them every day, all day long. Everybody tells lies. Advertisers tell lies. The news media tell lies. Our politicians, our leaders tell lies. You and I tell lies. You know, just so we don't miss it, God has written those words, "There is none righteous, no, not one," 4 times in your Bible. The Bible says, "All men are liars," Psalm 116:11. Truly, the godly are gone, the faithful fail from among the children of men. They, this world, they speak lies, vanity, lies, lie. Everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. Help, Lord. You know, we think we live in an evil age, but this psalm is a description of every age of this world. It, flattering lips and a double heart are found over and over again in our Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 20, Joab's sword accidentally falls to the ground out of his right hand. In his left hand, he's got another sword. He grabs Amas by the beard. And what does he say to him? "Art thou in health, my brother?" And then he sticks the sword into his ribs and spills out his bowels, I think that it says. "Art thou in health, my brother?" Kind words, but very deceitful words, were the last words Amasa ever heard. Judges chapter 4. Deborah and Barak are fighting with King Sisera. He gets away and he looks for a place to hide. Jael is at the door of a tent. She goes out to meet him and she says, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not." Tired and thinking he's safe, he falls asleep on the floor of her tent. Then Jael grabs a tent nail and a hammer and she hammers it through his temples and he dies. "Turn in to me, fear not," are very deceitful, kind words, and probably the last words the king ever heard. Flattering lips and a double heart. Judges 16, Delilah, "Do you really love me, Samson?" Right? "Tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Samson tells her the truth, and the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Luke 22, Judas betrays Christ with a kiss. These are all examples of flattering lips and a double heart. People use kind words, deceitful words, to get what they want. And good people do it. But this prayer is asking for help from some bad people. So skip down to verse 8. "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." This is a truth of every land in this world. Wicked people, when wicked people rule, whether it's business or government, then other wicked men are promoted. Wicked people don't hire honest men. But our Bible urges us to pray for those wicked men. They have a soul. God loves that soul. So help, Lord. Help us. Help to love those souls. Jonah 2:8 says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." Their lying lives By their lying lives, they are abandoning their chances for salvation. Pray for their souls. But this psalm, David is asking for protection from those wicked, vile men who are exalted. There seems always to be an absence of good men ruling, probably because those lies work. So pray for good men to rule, because when the vilest men are exalted, the wicked walk on every side. God urges us to pray for our rulers. 1 Timothy 2:1, he says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Right? We need to pray for their souls. But then he mentions for kings and for all that are in authority, so that, in order that, here's the reason. Right? I mean, we need to pray for their souls. But the verse says, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because when the vilest men rule, rather than godly men, when only vile, evil people rule, there will be no room for honest men, no mercy for the godly, no pity for the poor, no place for us to live a quiet, peaceable life in goodness, in godliness, and honesty. When the vilest men are exalted, then the wicked walk on every side. And wicked people hate honest people who expose their wickedness. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If you look at the verse just before that, Cain has killed Abel. And why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Cain is an example of this world. Wicked people hate honest people who show up their wickedness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Pray that good men rule. But if they don't, like David, pray for protection from the evil rulers of this world. Help, Lord. It struck me that David is writing these words in our first two verses. I think he should have prayed for some protection for himself. Right? You know, we need to pray. So actually our last most important reason to pray, help, Lord, it's like our first reason, is to pray for ourself. Pray that this vain, flattering, deceitful way of life is not found in you. Not just help, Lord, right? Like David's praying, help, Lord, to save you from a lying world. But help, Lord, save me from being anything close to this world. Save me from myself. Now, I think I would never do such a thing, right? I would never manipulate people like Joab or Jael or Delilah or Judas. But maybe I would. David did. David wrote this song. I don't want a double heart, but I have a double heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah is speaking about my heart, about your heart. He's speaking about the guy who wrote this psalm's heart. Right at the top of there, it says, a psalm of David. In the very near future, the author of this very psalm, which is praying for help from those wicked liars, right, will use the same deceit and flattering words to Bathsheba's husband Uriah, right? To lure Uriah home, all to cover up his own sin. Help, Lord. Help us all. I'll bet David, as he was writing this psalm, would have said, like me, I would never do such a thing. But he will be the one using deceitful words, flattering lips, and a double heart to poor Uriah. 2 Samuel 11, David gives Uriah food and drink and urges him to go into his wife. Right? Have a drink, friend. Right? Have something to eat. Have another drink. Go see your wife. Are probably the last comforting but very deceitful words Uriah ever heard. We are human. And vanity, deceit, lying, and a double heart is part of our very makeup. Unless we fight our natural urge, we will say what we want to get what we want. Deceit is fundamental to the human condition. Do not dare think it's beneath you. People use kind words, deceitful words, to deceive others into thinking they're doing them a good when really they're doing them wrong. And we are people, just like these people in our Bible. If David could lie and feign care for Uriah to save his own butt, so could I. You know, I don't hold a candle to David's faith. I would have cowered before Goliath. Right? I don't hold a candle to David's righteousness, right? In that cave in 1 Samuel, right? And when I would have, those men coaxing me to kill Saul, yeah, I probably would have done it. Yeah, with 1 Samuel 26, when Abishai asks to stick the spear into sleeping Saul, I may have consented. Right? I don't hold a candle to David. If a man after God's own heart could have a double heart and use flattering lips and lies, so could I. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Right after those words is the answer, Christ. Help, Lord. Pray, help, Lord. I'm just like the world. Save me from being just like the world. And you want that prayer answered. Because the psalmist moves from prayer in verses 1 and 2 and then predicts God's judgment on those who do such wicked things. Verses 3 and 4. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord out of us? Who is Lord of us? Judgment. Part of me says amen to that. Another part of me cries for mercy. For me and for them. Because, you know, I know good people like this who deceive with lies. I love good people like this who deceive with lies. I was people like this that deceive with lies. And I am very capable of still being people like this. Judgment. I'm not sure it's right to desire God's judgment to wicked men. There's nothing desirable about God's judgment to wicked men. Even God doesn't desire judgment to wicked men. His desire is for all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. Like God, we should desire their repentance, not their destruction. But we should, however, desire God's judgment for ourselves. We should pray, help me, Lord, whatever it takes. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a whatever it takes prayer. Right? We all know the verse. We sing it in a hymn. It's, you know, every time it comes up, I think to myself, oh, that's a serious prayer. You know, what create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What would God have to do in my life to create a clean heart in me? Our prayer should be whatever it takes. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Pray for it. You want God to make you more like Christ. Back to the world. You know, we look at the evil in this world and we wonder, how long, Lord? But judgment will happen. Verse 5, God's voice declares his plan. Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he longs. Groaning and longing. Romans 8:22, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, this... The world wearies me, but I weary me also. Okay? God knows I need a rest. We need a rest. The sins of this world are a weight to our soul. Though we know we are forgiven, our sins are a weight to our soul. That's where verses 6 and 7 come in. Verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. David's been praying about the lies and the deceit of human words. Now he washes us with clean water. He shows us the difference between God's world and our world, between God's words and our words. God's word is a rock that we stand on, right? It's a sword. It's an anchor for our soul. It's a lamp. It's a shelter. When you find this world fails you, cry, help, Lord. When you find yourself falling, cry, help, Lord. And where does our help begin? With the Word of God. And I think that's a good place to end. Because, you know, we need to give our soul and mind a time out from all the ugly in this world. God's will win. Focus on God's Word. And this world will seem a little less important. This world will not last forever. God's word will. Verse 7, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Concentrate on God's word, and our own sinful nature will waste away. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4:8. Billy Sunday, don't know if you know him, I love the old preachers, right? He's a preacher from the early 1900s. He says, if you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to the greatest source of power known to mankind. Pray without ceasing. Even if it's just a short prayer, like help, Lord. Cry help, Lord, every day. All day long. Amen. Okay. We'll just, Lord, we thank you, Father, that when we cry to you, your ears hear. And we are so needy, Father. The world that we live in, just our own hearts that are constantly taking us away from just your presence, Lord. Help us always to depend.